Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Why did we agree to do this?
Why did we agree to do anything?
I hate us.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
I hate us.
They might need my help there.
You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean on the world famous K-Rock. Good morning, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages. It is 5:51 in the a.m. Thanks for tuning in to the Showbiz Beat. Congratulations to my buddy Patton Oswalt. Ah, boy, this made me happy. Yesterday, news broke that he and his new girlfriend, Meredith Salinger, are engaged, planning to get married. You may remember Meredith as her role in the journey of Natty Gann alongside Judd Cusack many years ago. Very talented actress, and the two of them are very much in love. And boy, I'm happy for these guys. And apparently, little 8-year-old Alice, Patton's daughter, just loves her as well. And a brand new family has been born, and that's awesome and cool. So congratulations to those guys. And then the sad side of love, Marvel Comics legend Stan Lee, his wife of 69 years, Joan Lee, passed away yesterday. Can you believe that? Married for 69 years. That's crazy. They had two children together. Joan, who was 93, suffered a stroke earlier in the week and then passed away. So, man, it's a pretty good run. 69 years. And no 69 jokes, please. Have some respect. The Blue Man Group. Remember them? Blue Man Group. If you've ever been to Vegas, you know who the Blue Man Group are. Kevin, I think, knows who the Blue Man Group are, doesn't he? Doesn't he, Beer Mug? Doesn't he know? Doesn't Kevin know the Blue Man Group, who they are and what they do and stuff in Vegas?
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man Group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Yep.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Said that. Blue Man Group was just purchased by Cirque du Soleil. Yeah, there's a Vegas merger made in heaven. The New York-based theater franchise, which, by the way, has performed in more than 20 countries. There's Blue Men Group all over the world. And they're seen by more than 35 million people on a regular basis. I can imagine what kind of money's involved in this. But the founder of the Blue Men Group said, "Only a global powerhouse like Cirque du Soleil could help us achieve our vision. It's an honor to join forces with their organization." No word on how much the deal is worth, but you can imagine it's a ton. And now I guess the Blue Man Group will just be flying through the air on trapeze and crap like that. So,
have you ever seen Blue Man Group?
I have seen the Blue Man Group.
It's actually entertaining.
It's very entertaining. Yes, I enjoyed it enormously. They spit marshmallows and they hit drums and stuff flies off. But it sounds lame ass, but trust me, you'll enjoy it. It's a good time. Here's an interesting film idea. Ang Lee, it has been announced, the director, is going to do a sci-fi film called Gemini Man. Here's the premise. It's about an aging NSA agent who has announced he's going to retire. That doesn't sit well with his bosses, so he ends up being targeted by an assassin. All right, so far, nothing new here. However, the assassin is a younger clone of himself. How about that? The technology has finally caught up to this idea, which has been bouncing around for about 20 years now. But now they can cast someone and digitally give him youth, and so he can play both roles. Will Smith apparently is going to play the agent and the clone as well. And so, I don't know. I think it's a promising idea. A little reminiscent of Looper, however, remember with Bruce Willis? But that was played by two different actors, so. Could be cool. Looking forward to it. This is sad. This makes me sad. Ricky Rocket, the drummer for Poison. That does make me sad, just Ricky Rocket. But the fact that he is, like most rock and rollers, he's got an ex-wife. Her name is Melanie. And she's got an interesting divorce deal. Apparently, this is according to TMZ.com, if Ricky goes on a full-scale tour with Poison, if they tour again, whatever child and spousal payments he's currently making double during the months that he's on tour because he's making that much more money. That doesn't seem fair, right? Cut your deal, get what you get, and then that's what you get regardless of how much money he's making. He shouldn't be penalized by being successful. He should be penalized for being in Poison. Don't get me wrong. But not just because he's on tour. So that doesn't seem fair to me, but apparently she's got a better lawyer than he does. And if you weren't in Malaysia this week, you really missed out. You missed on seeing hundreds of people dressed up like cats as they set the Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people dressed up like cats.
Does Guinness just do anything now?
Apparently. You can just make up your own lame-ass records. And, oh, look at me. I'm in the book. In the town of Kuching in Malaysia this week, 440 cat lovers dressed up like cats in cat costumes with ears and whiskers and a tail. And 440 of them were enough to put them in the Guinness Book of Records. That you don't know. You don't get an award for that. There's 440 people dressed up like cats. You send in a drone strike. You take them out.
Stop it.
It's an opportunity right there. It's lost. The name Kuching, apparently in Malaysia, actually means cats. And the town is filled with cat museums and statues. And oh, my Lord. Oh, I got a new enemy. The people of Kuching. Now I know why Kevin's not here today. Just dawned on me. It's National Chocolate Day. That must be like Christmas at his house, right? He just rolls around in a wading pool full of chocolate. Let's take a look today. Celebrity birthdays. Beatles drummer Ringo Starr celebrates his 77th birthday today. By the way, he's 77 years old today. On today, which is 7-7-1-7, right? So I don't know what that means. But, also, Ringo, to celebrate, is asking you to think, say, or post peace and love at noon today. Ringo wants fans all over the world to do this when the clock strikes 12, wherever they are. And he says that peace and love can be accomplished just by thinking, saying it, or posting it at noon today.
Hmm.
Shut up, old man. That's not how it works. Shelley Duvall is 68 years old today. Jim Gaffigan is 51. Georgia Fox, remember her from CSI? She is 49 years old today. That's rough. I want the showbiz beat.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
They're all doing great, except for Kevin.
K-Rock.
So your parents called a penis what, Allie, when they were teaching you stuff?
A Tom Dooley or a Jimmy Johnson.
Okay. All right.
That's not normal?
I mean, I think it is normal for a lot of parents.
Yeah. But girls have a hoo-ha.
Right.
Guys have a Jimmy Johnson.
Sure.
So then at some point, is it confusing when you find out you get to school or whatever and you find out it's not called a hoo-ha, I would think?
I mean, I worked through it, but would it have been better if they started with penis? Sure.
Okay.
We should always start with penis.
The reason we're bringing this up is there's an interesting story in the news out of Scotland, by the way. The National Health Service over there in Greater Glasgow and the Sexual Health Service called Sandyford are starting a campaign to try to get parents to use the actual words of genitals for their little kids. In other words, don't call it a willy.
Mm-hmm.
Or your little flower or whatever, your winky. Don't use those terms. Go ahead and start off with penis and vagina. And that just because otherwise you're teaching your kids that those are dirty words. And they're not dirty words. There's no reason to not say those words or know those words. Now, is that a useful campaign, do you guys think? Does that make a lot of sense to you all?
Sure. Why not? Bean, this is America.
This is America.
Well, Scotland, actually.
So, this is Scotland.
I don't know if there's any pushback on this or how well it's being received, but we asked producer Dave if there's anyone we could talk to, and sure enough, he got us. Sean McGinnis is on the line. He is from those services making this advice to new parents. Hey, Sean, how are you?
How are you doing this morning?
We're good. Well, we're fine.
Glad to hear it.
We're fine. This is a very interesting topic. It's something, I mean, it's
right, it is. It's very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about growing up. Here's the thing about raising children. We don't do this with any other body part. You don't go around saying, "Oh, where's your sniffer doodle?" and point at your nose.
That's true.
You don't go, "Oh, where are your big blinky peepers?" You call them eyes, don't you?
You do.
That's true.
"Oh, where's your big slobber hole?" About the mouth. That'd be the mouth.
Okay. Yes. Okay.
We don't do this to our children with any other parts other than the sexual areas.
Mm-hmm.
No wonder they're confused and embarrassed and ashamed of their sexuality by the time they get in their teens.
That makes a lot of sense. So really, it's their parents who should know better that are probably too embarrassed to even say those words
that's
out loud.
That's what it is!
Yeah, that's the whole campaign.
They're taking their own insecurities and embarrassment about sexuality, and they're fostering onto their wee little ones.
Right, uh-huh.
Right.
That's why we have to be more matter-of-fact about using the words that are proper for their body parts.
Okay, it makes a lot of sense.
Vulvas, their vaginas, their penises, for God's sake.
Right, just use those words.
Don't point the scrotum and say, oh, there's your haggis baggis.
I didn't know that was a term.
That's awful.
You don't point to the penis and go, oh, look, it's the Loch Ness Monster. Coming out of Loch Ness.
That'd be troubling, I think.
You say, oh, where's your bagpipe? You don't want to say that to a wee little one.
Right?
You don't want to say to a little girl, oh, where's your crafty crevice? You don't want to call it that.
No, you don't.
You don't want to, not a crafty crevice, no.
Where are your fish flaps?
Nope.
You don't want to say that to a little girl.
No, I think we all agree on that.
Oh, where are those beef currants?
Right. Okay.
You don't want to say that.
Right, you don't.
It'll give them a bad idea about sexuality in their own body.
Right.
Understood, yes.
Stop using it as a meat wallet.
No. Not a meat wallet.
Come on now.
Are
parents saying that?
Yes, they are. They're going to Lee, wee little Annie, and saying, oh, take care of your cave of wonders. Don't touch yourself when your hippos yawn.
The hippos yawn.
That's right. Oh, dude, oh, you have to cover up Mom's glove box. You don't want that.
I think we agree with all of your points.
Is there something wrong with that girl there? Something's happening to her. Help her. Help her, I think she's got something caught in the stench trench.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Lame.
It is a Friday morning. And because it's Friday, that means we take a look at all the new movies in theaters with the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
New movies in the Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Just a couple. One in limited release, one major blockbuster. I think that's why there's so few movies being released today, new movies. Because no one wants to go up against the behemoth that is Spider-Man Homecoming. But there is a tiny little ghost story out there called A Ghost Story in limited release. It is from writer-director David Lowry. Casey Affleck and Rooney Mara star in this film. And Casey Affleck plays a young husband who dies early on in the film, but he returns to his home as a ghost to try to reconnect with his wife, who is grieving. Here's the hook, though. Here's the interesting part of this film. As a big FU to technology and, I don't know, the past 100 years of filmmaking, Casey Affleck appears in the movie as a ghost in a sheet with two holes cut out for his eyes. That's the premise and the execution of A Ghost Story. Here's some clips from the trailer of A Ghost Story.
When I was little, we used to move all the time. I would write these notes, and I would fold them up really small. And I would hide them.
What'd they say?
They were just like things I wanted to remember, so that if I ever wanted to go back, there'd be a piece of me there waiting.
We build our legacy piece by piece, and maybe the whole world will remember you, or maybe just a couple of people, but you do what you can to make sure you're still around after you're gone.
I'm already depressed. It's not for me. You know what it is for me? Spider-Man Homecoming! Tom Holland, his first outing as Spider-Man. Well, not quite, because, of course, he was in that Avengers Civil War movie. But his first full-length appearance as Spider-Man in a film of his own. And looks terrific. Peter Parker, of course. This is another sort of reimagining of the origin of Spider-Man.
We know that Tony Stark gives him his cool suit in this. And speaking of the Spidey suit, in this scene, Tom Holland, as Peter Parker, sneaks back into his room when his friend Ned, who is waiting for him to build a Lego Death Star, discovers that Peter is, in fact, the Amazing Spider-Man. Here's a clip from the movie.
What is that?
Nothing! Nothing!
You're the Spider-Man from YouTube.
I'm not...
on the ceiling.
What was it? Ned, what are you doing in my room?
Man, let me in. You said we're going to finish a Death Star.
She doesn't know. Nobody knows. Well, I mean, Mr. Stark knows because he made my suit, but that's it.
Tony Stark made you that? Are you an Avenger?
Yeah, basically. Dude, you can't tell anybody about this. You gotta keep it a secret.
Well, secret why?
Because you know what she's like. If she finds out people try and kill me every single night, she's not gonna let me do this anymore.
Okay. I'll level with you. I don't think I can keep this a secret. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
I can't believe this is happening right now.
This is Spider-Man as a kid once again. Going back to his teenage roots. Looks terrific. Michael Keaton also stars as the Vulture. Spider-Man's big bad in this film. Robert Downey Jr. stops in as Iron Man. Marissa Tomei is the hottest Aunt May ever. And this movie's just going to be a juggernaut. I think it'll make, $85, $90 million this weekend. So buy your tickets early. Because a lot of screens are going to be selling out, but the big movie, of course, for the weekend is Spider-Man Homecoming. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's
Ralph Garman
movie beat. It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Lame!
I was unfamiliar with this word, sologamy, but it makes sense that it would be marrying yourself. These are people who are just, they're both parts of the couple.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
Why do you marry yourself?
I don't know. Perhaps this woman, Erica Anderson, being interviewed on the topic, she recently married herself. Perhaps she will enlighten us.
How would you describe self-marriage?
I would describe it as women saying yes to themselves.
And what does that mean?
It means that we are enough, even if we're not partnered with someone else.
If you're enough, even though you're not partnered with someone else, why do you have to marry yourself?
Why do you have to marry yourself?
Because you're enough.
Why are you both looking at me?
Because you're a lady.
Well, I think I could do better.
This Erica is 37 years old and had a full-on wedding with a wedding dress and bouquets and bridesmaids and the photographer and the cake and the party and everything.
Oh,
is
Erica.
Is she right. lying to us, or did she wake up one day and go, I'm never going to get married and I want a wedding?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening here?
It might be. Because
she's positioning it like it's not that, though.
Right.
She's
yeah.
positioning
Which
it
is
as
that
if
I'm
it's a
so
statement.
I'm so happy with the way just me is happening
right.
that I want to commemorate that with a ceremony. So I'm very confused about sologamy, but it is a real thing. And we asked if there's somebody we could talk to on this topic. And Dave lined up a young man named Roger Cantwell. He is an advocate for sologamy. And maybe he can help us work through this since we're all so new to the topic. Mr. Cantwell, how are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
we're doing fine. So is this just one?
Why are you laughing?
Well, we're just happy to have you on the show,
well,
sir.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Right. I'm happy to talk to almost anyone.
This Erica Anderson, we were just...
Yes, Erica.
Oh, you know her?
I know her well. I was at her wedding.
Okay. So is she just a nut job, to use the language of the president, or is this a trend that's actually happening and it's becoming more and more popular?
Of course it's actually happening. It actually happened. That's how I know it's actually happening.
No, but I mean more than just her.
Oh, many people are marrying themselves. I myself married me.
What? then you tell us. What's the thought process that leads you to arrive at that decision?
I am enough. I love me and I accept myself wholly. I take my hand and hold myself as no one else will hold me. Mm-hmm. I treat myself better than anyone would ever treat me.
Okay.
And so I celebrate today myself. Me.
I see.
Yeah, it does sound pretty entitled, but don't you think you're kind of shutting yourself off from somebody that you could let enter your life by doing this?
Not at all. It leaves me open to the idea that maybe someday I will find someone else who is also a sologamist, and then we can be solo together.
So then, wait. So you would date that person?
I have no idea. I'm pretty faithful to myself.
I see. Oh. Okay.
You don't want to cheat on you.
I hate the idea of cheating on me.
Okay. What if you fall in love with somebody who has married themselves?
I am so in love with me. I can hardly imagine having room in my heart for another one.
Huh.
But I have spent the better part of my life alone, surprisingly.
Right. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And it really, I fell in love with myself at an early age, around 12.
Okay.
And my sex life has been primarily, well, as I like to call it, Han Solo. And so my sexuality just naturally led me, I think, into sologamy.
Okay.
But, and when I got married,
yes.
I had a great wedding. It was almost $750,000, my wedding.
Whoa.
What?
Yes, it was quite the affair. A large part of that was making tiny little tuxedos for my cats.
this is
that was part of the expense.
That was
expensive.
They're not cheap, those custom cat tuxes.
Now, was this a sad day, Roger? Because it sounds sad just being on the outside of it.
Let me tell you something about my wedding.
Okay.
It was the happiest day of my life.
Oh, that's lovely.
As I looked into my own eyes.
How do you do that?
Said, you have to cross them severely.
I see, okay. Okay.
As I looked into my own eyes, and I said my vows to myself.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't. It was so hard to wait until the wedding night.
Oh,
jeez. Oh, no.
I just had to duck into a restroom.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay.
Get me a little piece of me.
You do love you.
You have no idea.
How is married you different than single you, though?
Well,
because doesn't single you do all those same things?
But when I was single with myself, we would go out more and party more. And now we're really so much more homebodies.
Okay. Okay.
Have you seen the sex drop off?
No. Actually, it's picked up considerably because we're spending less time out of the home.
I see.
And we just Netflix and chill a lot when we're home. Well, it's more Pornhub and chill, but still,
I understand.
There's a lot of chilling.
The Kevin and Bean Show mornings on K-Rock.
Sounds kind of boring.
Just, I don't like you.
Kevin!
Who gets hurt if I have to travel for work and I'm away from home and I FaceTime Linus, my dog? Who gets hurt? Linus loves it. He sees me.
Does he love it?
Yeah, he blogs about it all the time.
Does he blog about it?
Yeah, he blogs all the time.
I follow him on Twitter, and he's really witty. He says he doesn't like it so much.
He sees me, and he recognizes my face.
I wish Daddy would leave me alone.
And he recognizes my voice. It's good for him. It's super fun for me to be able to see him when I'm up.
Actually, he tweets like this. Hey, I wish Daddy would leave me alone.
Tell me who gets hurt. Tell me what the downside is.
It's just you're crazy.
Why, though?
I don't know why.
Well, go ahead.
It's not my doing.
No,
you're
use
crazy.
Your words and tell me why there's anything wrong with it. What's the possible downside of it?
You being crazy. I feel like I've made that point.
You haven't made
any
point.
I feel like that's a downside.
His case is rested.
Right?
So your only defense is that stop it.
That's my defense.
That's what you're saying is stop it.
Right.
All right, what if it weren't me? What if it were Dave's adorable girlfriend, Krista, who you know and love so much?
I love Krista.
Who also Skypes with Rhonda Ruffey.
Krista is crazy.
Let's find out. Let's talk to Krista. Maybe she can win you over if I can. And Krista, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my dear. How are you?
Good morning.
Do you hear the abuse I'm taking from the bad man?
I'm with you.
All right, listen.
I'm totally with you.
I like Krista more than I like Bean.
That's why I thought she would be a good advocate for our position.
But do you Skype with your pet?
All the time.
Crazy. Just straight.
It's normal.
It's normal because you do it a lot.
No, it's normal because Rhonda loves me and she's mildly obsessed. So when I travel all the time, she needs to see my face.
Yeah, right. Seeing her face and hearing her voice gives Rhonda comfort. So
exactly.
Really, it's helping everyone. It's helping Dave. It's helping other people.
Krista is absolutely right. It's a complete win-win. There's no losers here. Krista feels better. I don't want to put words in your mouth, Krista, but I assume it makes you happy when you're away from home and you miss her. It makes you happy to see her and see that she's happy and well. And it makes her happy to see you.
And also to make sure that Dave hasn't
forgotten to feed her or something.
Well, yeah, so you're checking on your pet's health.
She's checking to make sure Dave didn't kill it.
Because you don't trust Dave. That's very different.
Yeah, I don't trust Dave at all.
Well, Dave is in no way qualified to keep a pet alive over the course
Agreed.
Of the weekend. That's for sure.
All right, Krista, do you call yourself mommy about
yes.
your pet? You do?
Yeah.
I can't be friends with you anymore.
Aww. But look, but Kevin,
I'm
look.
Sorry.
I don't think that's a deal
I've known
breaker.
Krista a long time.
Yeah.
This is not, it's not an equivalent.
I
this,
can't
is what,
be.
This is what you don't understand, Kevin.
I can't it's be friends
an
anymore.
It's not an equivalency between having a human child and having a pet. That's not what this is. But to Rhonda Ruffey, Krista is her mother. She is the person who takes care of her that she relies on and counts on to make sure that she is safe and healthy and happy.
You
and
think
Krista,
that, you think
do
the
you...
dog thinks that she's a her dog mother?
No, she just it's a mother, a mothering
a
thing.
Caregiver.
Krista, do you call your dog a fur baby?
Yes.
Oh, jeez. All right, now I'm out.
We've tried so hard,
Come
Krista.
On, Krista.
We've tried so hard to be a friends with you, and it's just not working out. Get off my phone.
Krista, you keep doing what you're doing. It makes you a great pet parent to spend that much time being interested in
All
caring
right,
about
yeah.
Rhonda.
That's what we're saying.
Thank you for calling, my dear. All right, let's take Renee. She's on line one. She's in Huntington Beach, and she also is going to have my back here.
I think I need somebody to have my back. Why am I the only one speaking truth?
Because you're the only one who's wrong and is bad.
Renee in Huntington Beach. So you Skype with your pet?
I do.
Okay.
I do. Well, it's FaceTime, but I travel for work. A few times a year, and I go for 6 to 10 days, and so when I call, we have a special ringtone. Well, my husband has a special ringtone, and when my French bulldog hears the phone, she comes running
because she thinks there's
she
a
knows
treat.
The ring. No, she knows the ringtone.
She's
and
been
she
told,
yes. and she knows she's going to get to see you, right?
Yeah, yeah. So then,
that's sweet.
They put me on FaceTime to hear my voice, and obviously they don't speak, but.
Well, listen, like it would be
Mom.
Any surprise for you to say they speak.
No.
You and Bean.
She's not delusional.
Yes.
She's just saying that her pet
Dear
enjoys seeing her from
All right,
afar.
Get off my phone.
Come on, Kevin.
No. All right.
Hold on.
We don't need to continue this.
Let's put Will on because he may be on your side. He's in Yucaipa. He's on line two. Let's see what Will has to say.
Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. So I have several dogs, and I am
okay.
their daddy. But
right.
Skyping your dog is insane.
What's insane about it?
The part where you have to see your dog. Like, you can't just visit your dog when you get home.
First of all...
So I'm split on Will, because he considers himself his pet's daddy. Crazy, but he won't Skype his pet, mm-hmm. so a little more balanced.
Yeah.
Well, I think you should try it, and here's why. Because you know how you miss your dog when you're traveling?
Yeah.
You get to see your dog. You feel better and happier. Look, your pets make you happy. And
well,
if you
I'm
can't be with them.
I get home and I've missed them and it makes me love them just a little bit more.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder for Will.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think your dog might enjoy seeing you because your dog, dogs don't have the longest memory in the world. And I think they're happy when they
but
get
they
a chance.
But they understand Skype.
They do
and
understand.
FaceTime.
No, but they know what
they're
Will
super
looks.
Happy to see their daddy on the screen.
But they know
they understand.
That's only your dogs, man.
They understand the 2D of a screen.
That is so angry.
And stupid Bean's face going, hey, doggy. That's so dumb.
I have two chihuahuas and a Queensland healer. And all three of them love me just a little bit more when I come home every day.
Will speaks truth, and he can be on my phone.
They would love nice. You even yeah. more if you would check in once in a while when you're off whoring around, all right? Maybe check in with the family a little bit.
Radio.com. Bitter, predictable, whining disc jockeys. It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Former President Bill Clinton in the news, you guys. He has teamed up with James Patterson, who, by the way, I don't read Mr. Patterson's books. I guess he's written like 200 of them. He's one of the most prolific and best-selling authors in history. You can't be on an airplane without seeing about a dozen people reading a James Patterson book.
Yeah,
this
true.
Guy churns them out. But he has decided to team up with former President Bill Clinton to write a book called The President is Missing. Which is actually kind of fascinating because, look, there's a lot of things we don't know about the real life of being a president.
Right.
There's a lot of details involved in security and getting in and out of the White House and traveling and everything else that we don't have any idea because we've never been there and they don't usually share that kind of information.
But they don't share that kind of information because they can't.
I think some of it is right? that. Yeah, I think there are security reasons to not say some things. But just what's it like to be the president? And I think that is fascinating that that's what James Patterson is going to call upon the former president to get some insight into, make this book sound different from every other book that he's written. And I'm tempted to even say I might even read it. And I don't know.
Oh,
and
you'll
I
read it. You love presidents so much.
I do love presidents a lot.
Yeah.
I don't read a lot of fiction, but this one sounds interesting to me. So what is Bill Clinton going to contribute to this book? We don't know. But we did ask Dave if we could get the former president on the line. And here he is, number 42, you guys, William Jefferson Clinton, back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you, Mr. President?
How much do you guys miss me?
All.
I mean, those were good times, sir. I'm not going to lie.
It's crazy, right?
Those were good times. Well, we didn't have you on to talk about politics today.
I'm
although
glad, because I don't want to talk about that.
Good.
That's all my rearview window.
Mm-hmm. Right. This announcement yesterday from Doubleday, though, that you and Mr. Patterson are teaming up, it sounds kind of exciting.
It's really been a thrill to work with James Patterson. I'm a huge, huge fan of his mm-hmm. work. Mm-hmm. And to be able to work with him and team up together to work on a novel and write this story, it's just been really one of the highlights of
my
life.
How much of the writing are you doing versus James?
I'm doing a lot of it.
You are?
Yeah,
oh.
It's really a 50-50 collaboration.
Really?
I came to James with the idea, and he's helping me flesh it out, but a lot of the dialogue and the actual writing is mine.
Is what you're contributing based on anything that happened to you in real life during your time in the White House?
No, this is a completely fictional story about a president named Jeff Clifton.
What's his name?
Jeff Clifton.
Jeff Clifton.
All right.
He's handsome, like a ladies' man type president. All right. The ladies want to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
Women want him.
Right.
Men want to be him.
Right.
Okay.
And he's got a wife who is also a politician.
Oh,
weird.
Wow.
She couldn't beat a clown. There's an actual part of the story where a circus clown runs for president.
Right.
And he runs up against it.
And what's her name?
Millery.
It's Millery. Okay.
So President Jeff Clifton has to become like a secret agent and go undercover to work for the United States because Russia's trying to hack into our elections.
All right, but this is it's not true, though. Nothing is true.
Completely fictional story.
Okay, all right.
It sounds a lot like what's going on right now.
So secret agent President Jeff Clifton puts on his tuxedo and gets all of his special secret agent equipment.
Right.
He goes deep undercover, and that's why they think the president is missing. But he's actually he's traveling from London to Tangier to Abu Dhabi on the hunt of this sexy female secret agent called Monica Bludris.
I'm sorry, the name again, Mr. President?
Monica Bludris.
Bludris. All right.
And
don't you have better people that could track her?
Well, no, because the president, he has an intimate knowledge of this secret agent.
Okay.
And she is carrying a secret microfilm in a cigar that he needs to find.
Right.
A cigar again.
He
needs to hunt
down the cigar and find out where she could be hiding that cigar.
Right.
And he has to look high and he has to look low.
Right.
He's got to look really low.
Right. Right.
Lower than that.
Okay.
And then he finds... And then, well, you'll have to read the book to see whether he finds a cigar or not.
I think we know.
And then the wife dies. I don't know why, but it's just a happy ending for everybody.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Just not funny.
K-Rock.
Look, we don't really have time for this feature, though, right?
Oh, we got so much time.
Yeah, we have...
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Bean really does try to reset things and make it clear so that everybody understands and has access to it.
Okay.
And yet, every example that he picks somehow is terrible.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
He really sucks.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Such a schmuck.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
You'll see what we mean.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
Look,
first of all, he assumes that people don't understand the most simple of concepts.
Right.
He feels obligated to try to explain the obvious. And then when he does so, it's a tremendous fail.
What kind of bad examples are we talking about?
The first one, Ralph is doing showbiz about an award for best comedy series, Orange is the New Black. And here's Bean.
And for best ensemble cast in a comedy series, Orange is the New Black, they won because who's funnier?
Oh, my God.
Than
that cast. Kills me.
Oh. It's like just
I have to take
one
a break.
Belly laugh after another on that show.
It's like
show.
The Three Stooges are back, is what it's like.
No, it really is.
That was your example?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
That makes no sense.
We're talking about wacky comedies, which Orange is the New Black
is
not.
Like the Three Stooges are back?
Right, I was trying to make a...
Do they do physical comedy?
I was trying to make a joke of how unlike they were that. That
was the point. Three Stooges?
Please, we need it.
Mr. Bad Impressions.
But you had to go back to 1933 to find some comedy reference?
It wasn't the best example I could pull. No.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
All right, here he's talking about hyper-realistic dreams.
But apparently they can feel very, very real, and they only seem to ever happen when people are in bed, when they are kind of in that drifting in and out state. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a place where they are comfortable thinking about those things. It doesn't happen, in other words, while you're driving down the street or, you know, raking the leaves or something like that.
Right.
So
raking the leaves.
That's the thing. That's
right?
You're raking the leaves.
And then a succubus just comes down. You're like, ooh, let's do it.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Raking the leaves.
What should I have said there?
Something people do.
Nobody rakes
on a regular basis.
All right, we had a.
Do you live in Massachusetts?
We had a contest where you could pick any band at Coachella and see them anywhere in the world. And this is Bean's example. The band is not playing Coachella, and so as far as we know, they're not playing where he's saying either.
So you want to see? Hey, I love the Killers, and I've always wanted to go to Finland. You two and two together, you go boom. That's it. I'm going to see the Killers in Finland. I mean, that's how it works.
Wait, I thought it was just people playing Coachella. Yeah.
It is, or whoever. I'm just saying, Killers are not a good example. Maybe Finland's not a good example either. But my point is, you find someone on that Coachella bill.
An example of one of the 4,000
Radiohead
bands
in
playing
Bali.
Coachella.
How about Radiohead in Bali? Like I heard the lady say that one time. All right, that's maybe a better example.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
For Coachella.
And that's how that works. Exact opposite of what he just said.
In case you didn't understand, you can pick a band and go to any country.
Who could understand that, Allie? We need an example or else we can't wrap our head around that concept.
We were talking about a guy's brain fluid leaking out over the course of 10 years.
Can you just imagine waking up every day with just a soaking wet pillow of fluid from your brain? And this went on for him for 10 years he lived with this.
And by the way, grab something bigger than a cotton ball at some point.
Yeah, just start wearing a turban or something. Whatever you got to do, right?
Yes. Start wearing a turban.
I'm just saying something.
Yes, no, that's good.
You can't walk around with a towel on your head
right
your day. You put a turban on, though. That's a thing that people wear, and it might also soak up all the leak.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Those super absorbent turbans.
I am standing by that.
You're standing by that.
Go to live a simpler life. Just wear a soaking wet turban around your head.
All right, talking about the Bachelorette.
Oh, come on, we got to be out by now.
Please.
We have like four more. Talking about the Bachelorette.
And she's a lawyer,
she
correct?
Is an attorney, yes.
Okay.
And there's several attorneys on the show this year.
I wonder
including
if she
attorney
won.
Jack Stone.
Well, that's
he'll
what
fight for you.
I wonder if
I'm hard on crime.
Oh, okay.
And harder on Rachel.
Oh.
So in other words, Allie, you're wondering, would she not...
she want to go home to something she just left at work?
Right.
Oh, or so maybe would she want
somebody to mix it up?
Someone totally different.
Like a cowboy or something.
Like a cowboy. Yes.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Like a cowboy.
She'd like to go on the open range. Fix some fences.
All right. Well,
how many cowboys do you know?
Then you guys tell me what would be an example of an occupation that's more the opposite of an attorney,
a bartender,
than a cowboy. All right, maybe
gas station attendant.
Bartender would have been good too, I guess.
All right, we were talking
personal
about
trainer.
We were talking about things that you're excited about that no one else is. The topic is you're really excited about something and no one else cares.
It does happen a lot. I mean, I see the world's cleanest rest stop and I'm excited, you know, but I can't get anyone on board. But I will tell you,
worst example ever.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Is that a thing?
The world's cleanest rest stop.
And he's excited. That's his example. And by the way, he's not excited.
And how would you even know which one was the cleanest?
Right?
Do they keep track of such things?
Yes, there's an app.
And finally, the inspirational story of the 101-year-old that was skydiving.
How hard is it to skydive?
It's not.
Somebody's just, either you're jumping out of a plane or somebody's pushing you.
I'm saying he didn't climb Everest.
Right.
He's 101. one. He's jumping out of a plane.
But you know what he's not doing is sitting in a wheelchair with a, you know, with a blanket wrapped around him watching Mannix.
That's very true. Why Mannix, though? Why was that the whole?
I don't know. It hasn't been on in 40 years.
I don't even know what Mannix is. What is Mannix?
He's Mr. Bad Example.
Look, there have been...
What year was that on, Bean?
I don't know, Ralph. Early 70s?
Yeah, mid-70s, 75, 76, yeah.
Really?
How many TV shows you think there have been that I could have chosen?
A million?
Thousands?
Yeah.
And tens of thousands?
And you went with Mannix.
I don't know
could
why.
Could have said the Three Stooges would have been a better reference.
I'll tell you why.
He's Mr. Bad Example.
His name is Bean.
You're not doing good so far.
So far. The Kevin and Bean Show.
You're not doing good
on K-Rock. K-Rock.
Arian Foster is a name you may know. He, I think, is probably best known as a Houston, Texas, an NFL running back. And he, for some reason, spent about 3 hours on Twitter yesterday debating with his followers as to whether or not he could take a wolf or not.
Yeah, one-on-one.
In a one-on-one fight, could Arian Foster beat up a wolf? Now, is there any deep background on this that I am unaware of, Allie? How did this get started? Like, why? Where did
this
even begin?
The man just has thoughts.
All right. And he has wolf thoughts.
He has wolf thoughts. And when you have those thoughts and you're kind of working through them, why not take a little debate stance with other people that might have, you know, anti-wolf thoughts? And then it just becomes a debate.
All right. Well, as I mentioned, it went on for about 3 hours, so we'll try to hit some of the highlights in the back and forth in the Twitterverse that was yesterday. So, would you like to play the part of Arian Foster, Allie?
Would I?
And then I will play the detractors.
Absolutely.
All right. So it starts yesterday afternoon, and he begins it with what?
Want to go camping, but wildlife scares the S out of me. I honestly think I can get a wolf one-on-one, though. What?
So at that point, 2,000-something people liked the tweet that he thinks he can go one-on-one with a wolf.
Right.
And the first to respond is user Electric One, who writes back.
But what does he go by?
He's a Beaver Sutherland.
Thank you.
He's Beaver Sutherland. And here's what he types to Arian Foster. You could take down a wolf? Wow, you'd be dead within 10 minutes. Arian's not having any of that, though.
I'm 230. Wolves are what, 180, 200 tops? He has no thumbs. If I control his neck, he's donezo.
All right, so it sounds like Mr. Foster has given this a great deal of thought.
Then he goes on. Wolves don't scare me like that, because in my neighborhood was a bunch of loose and rage pits. If he alone, I think I could get him.
So did Arian Foster have experience growing up with having to, like, be always on alert for a pit bull in the neighborhood?
He had to protect himself from a loose and raged pit.
Okay, so that's about the same as a wolf, right?
Because
dogs equal wolves.
Yeah, he's good.
All right, so Beaver writes back, wolves bite so hard that all they have to do is get a hold of one part of you, would tear you apart. So Beaver is not at all assuaged. He's still putting his money down on the wolf.
But then Arian comes back with this. How are we going to bite with half a jaw? Right?
And that's because Arian Foster would have done what?
He would have handled it. He would have punched him, and then that jaw just snaps right in half.
Wow.
How are we going to bite with half a jaw?
All right. Senior Eric now weighs in. But wolves hunt in packs, he tells Arian.
This is where it gets real good. Arian comes back with probably the most genius thing I've ever heard. None of them have thumbs.
All right. Joby-1 Kenobi weighs in. Arian, I feel like you were giving opposable thumbs too much credit. Didn't you see The Gray? Wolves are nature's Wu-Tang Clan.
Although, good point. Arian comes back with this. Thumbs means I can grab him. He can't grab me. All he has is a mouth. Grab his neck, he can't bite. Plus, I have the advantage of honking about the wolf, like I'm prepared. If we run into each other in my head, oh yeah, it's on, wolf. He's just like, what's this aggressive species threatening me? And then this. I've studied the wolf. He can't read. I know his weaknesses. Plus the thumb thing.
So Arian feels like he would be better prepared in a one-on-one battle because he has done the research.
He's done the research, and that wolf isn't reading his timeline. He doesn't know he's coming for him.
Wolf has no idea what's about to go down.
None.
All right. Not Terry Collins writes in. Arian Foster, again, he will claw an artery open or claw your face off. Then you go to grab your arm and he chews your face off. It's a lose-lose. So he, Arian Foster, is not convincing the Twitterverse that he's still the man on in this fight.
I think he won over a lot of people with this one. Bro, you think a wolf knows where my artery is? All of a sudden I'm fighting a wolf that knows biology?
Don't animals have pretty good internal radar on how to fight?
I think
if you're a wolf, I think you got some... I mean, you may not be able to read it or write it, but I think you kind of know what part of another animal to attack. Yeah. I don't think a human is much different than anything else a wolf is fighting, do you?
I mean, you're reading too much into this.
Beefer weighs back in. This has been debated before, and those who know say a man has no chance versus a wild wolf. 90% of Twitter would die.
I'm in the 10%. What about his teeth and claws? This ain't a video game. One hit and I'm done. It's a fight. So he's basically saying this isn't a back and forth. He's just going to get him one time and he's done.
Just take him down.
Yeah, he continues on with, if he bites me, his main weapon is immobilized. Then he becomes vulnerable. This is why thumbs are so important.
Ah, back to the thumbs. Now, look, I get that Arian Foster is a tremendous physical specimen. You're not a running back in the NFL unless you've got a lot going for you.
Sure.
He's going to win in most fights in most situations against people. But he's still just a human, right?
I believe he is.
And a wolf is just a wolf.
I believe that to be true.
Dwayne Brown writes in, who is an NFL player himself, right?
Yeah, I believe
Dwayne Brown, 76?
Mm-hmm.
He weighs into the controversy now. Was scared to pet my silver lab.
Not scared he'd bite me, scared he'd try me, and I'd have to kill your dog.
Whoa. All right. Now here's where it starts to get ugly. This is where the Twitter sphere is getting annoyed at Arian.
They are fed up with Arian.
They're fed up with all of his confidence. Frijole Forever writes in to Arian Foster. A wolf also hasn't had a groin, hamstring, and knee injuries in the last 6 years. Advantage, wolf. So he's basically bringing Arian Foster down as damaged goods, is not the peak physical specimen that he claims to be.
Mm-hmm. Here's what he says about that wolf. Also hasn't been to 4 Pro Bowls, overcome those injuries, and doesn't have thumbs. Advantage me, effer.
Yay!
Arian. Ladies and gentlemen. There it is, Arian Foster versus the Wolf. And I'm telling you, and you said it earlier today, Ellie, if somebody doesn't immediately put a pay-per-view together, then we are just leaving money on the table.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
Spider-Man Homecoming opens up in theaters everywhere on Friday, July the 7th. Here's a little bit of what you're going to hear. And by the way, reviews are pouring in now, and people are loving it. And how can you not? Check it out.
Good evening, Peter. Oh. You have 576 possible web shooter combinations.
That is awesome.
I can keep that suit?
Yeah, doesn't fit me.
So when's our next retreat?
What, next mission? We'll call you.
Mr. Stark,
here's my report for tonight. I stopped the Grand Theft bicycle.
Hey, could you do me a favor? Hold on to that.
Is this anybody's bike?
Oh, I helped this old lady and she bought me a churro, so that was nice.
I'm sick of Mr. Stark treating me like a kid.
But you are a kid.
Yeah, a kid who can stop a bus with his bare hand.
He is a kid, and he's wearing the Spider-Man suit in Spider-Man Homecoming. We are delighted to welcome Tom Holland to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Tom,
Good
how
morning,
are you?
Guys. How are you?
What's going on, my friend?
I am chilling in my bed, enjoying a nice morning of phoner interviews, and all is good.
Let's talk about this this interview schedule that you've been on, because you've been around the world promoting Spider-Man for a while now. Where all have you been, Tom?
I have been everywhere. I think we've been on tour for a month now. I think we have about 2.5 weeks left, and it's been crazy. It's been a real whirlwind. It took a lot of getting used to. Jet lag is something that has never really affected me ever until now. Yeah. And it has hit me like a train. But I've had a lot of fun while doing it.
I mean, and you have to be breathing, you and everyone at Marvel have to be breathing such a sigh of relief now that the reviews are starting to come out and people can't find enough words to say how great this movie is. You must love that.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't know how stressed I was until the stress went away.
Huh.
And it's been such a labor of love, this movie, and the crew and the director and the cast all worked so hard to make this movie what it is. So for me, it's just so wonderful to see everyone's hard work pay off, you know?
Yeah,
and that everyone can really sort of accomplish what they wanted to.
I was reading about the process of the auditions, the sending in tapes, then meeting with the guys, this, that. Not only that, it was 5 months, and then afterwards it was, okay, we're going to call you tomorrow, let you know. We're going to call you tomorrow and let you know. Weeks would go by, and then how did you finally find out that you landed this role?
It was too long of a process, you know. Mm-hmm. It basically, my whole life became Spider-Man. All I could do online was search for Spider-Man news. All I was doing was reading Spider-Man comics and trying to learn about the character and going to the gym. And they said after my last audition, we will let you know tomorrow. Stay here in Atlanta because you're going to need to start filming in like 3 days. So I was like, oh, okay, this is great. At least if I don't get it, I'm going to find out tomorrow.
Right.
And then 6 weeks later, I'm on Instagram in my bed, and I see a picture that Marvel had posted saying, go to our website to find out who the new Spider-Man is.
And did your heart sink right then? Like, clearly they would have told me.
Yeah, you know, I was like, well, it's over. I haven't got it. I should read the article, you know, just to pay respects to the other kid and stuff and this and that. But it said my name, and I went absolutely ballistic, and I couldn't believe it.
That is incredible.
Was that a mix-up? Like, did somebody try to get a hold of you to tell you the news in person but just were unable to reach you? Or is this what their plan was all along, was for you to find out online?
I think what happened is the news leaked. Someone must have leaked it, and then they did a press release to try and make it look like it didn't leak.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do love, though, that your brother was like, nope, they've been hacked. You didn't get it.
Yeah, my brother was like, dude, come on. Really? They would call you. That's just complete and utter nonsense. And then I called up the studio and was like, can you guys let me know if this is true or not? And they did, which was an amazing day.
Wow.
This is the voice of actor Tom Holland here on The Kevin and Bean Show, star of Spider-Man Homecoming in theaters everywhere on Friday, July 7th. There was a lot of press over this weekend, Tom, about your tattoo that you recently got, and I wondered if you could tell us the story about that.
Yeah, the tattoo was a very impulse thing. I was here in New York filming, and a friend of mine, her mom, was getting a tattoo at the studio called the Bang Bang Studio, and I know his work, you know, I've been a fan of his. So I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. How did you get on his list? She was like, he would do a tattoo on you in a heartbeat. So I started texting him. I was like, dude, I really want to get a Spider-Man tattoo. He's like, that would be so cool. Please come to the studio. Let's set it up. And I got there, and I told him what I wanted, which was the symbol from my chest on the suit dangling from a web. He's like, dude, that's so dope. I can't wait to do it. He's like, where do you want it? I was like, I'd like it on the bottom of my foot, please. And he was like, where do you want it? I was like, no, seriously, I want it on the bottom of my foot. He's like, dude, do you have any idea how much that's going to hurt? I was like, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Bearing in mind, I've never had a tattoo in my life.
Oh.
And it was agony.
Yeah, but that's a painful place.
I love it. I really love it because I forget I have it. And I didn't tell my parents I had one because my dad said if I ever got a tattoo, he'd like chop my arm off.
Well, he found out on Twitter, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. But I was doing a handstand in the kitchen of my house with no socks on, and my mum was like, what's that on your foot?
Oh, my gosh.
But they actually thought it was really cool. They really like it.
That is a cool tattoo, and that's something, no matter, I mean, and I'm sure you'll have a long, successful career, but you'll always look back on this special time in your life, and that'll be a great memory for you, I bet.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
What's the hardest thing about being Spider-Man in the movie? Is it the fly-in? Is it the wire work, or what?
It's the tightness of the suit in, you know, the general sort of male genitalia area.
I see.
The biggest challenge for me. I remember the first time I had to put the suit on, they gave me a thong. And I was like, excuse me, why are you handing me this? What do I have to wear this for? And so getting used to that aspect of the suit was pretty complicated.
Tom, talk for a minute, if you would, about, I mean, I can't even imagine as an actor and as a movie fan what it must be like to work with Robert Downey Jr. I mean, he is such an icon. And Michael Keaton, for that matter, by the way. And you've got to feel like such a kid. And you show up and you've got these legends around you. Is it possible for you to put that out of your mind and just treat them like characters in a movie when you're acting with them?
Well, the cool thing is when you meet these guys is you realize very quickly that they are just regular guys, you know. They're very fun. They're easy to talk to. They're kind, welcoming, warm. The funny thing is with Michael is you'll be talking to him, having a good chat. He's a nice guy. They say action, and then he's terrifying. They're like, whoa, dude, okay, chill out. Whoa, what happened? But yeah, so I was so lucky that I had two great guys, you know, supporting me in this movie. They're both fantastic in the movie, and fans are going to love them.
I mean, look at your life. You're hanging out with Batman. You're hanging out with Iron Man. You know, it's so insane. And I saw your tweet a couple of days ago where you said it was 2 years ago this week, I guess, that you got the Spider-Man role that just changed your life forever. And you just must feel like you're walking through life just pinching yourself.
You know, I don't want to pinch myself because I'm afraid I'll wake up. You know, I am having the time of my life, and I genuinely feel like the luckiest kid alive. I have the best fans. Everyone has been so supportive, and it's just been an absolute roller coaster, and I just really hope I get to keep going round.
Well, we're so very happy for your success and so excited to see this movie on the 4th of July weekend. It opens up everywhere on Friday, July 7th. Tom Holland, you're a good one, man. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Continued success to you, my friend.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you next time.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Introducing Rock and Roll.
Yoko Ono, we found out on Friday, was going to receive songwriting credit for John Lennon's Imagine.
Why so soon?
This is a new development.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Why?
I can't imagine why. The song came out in 1971.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, as an aside, not a number one record. How shocking is that when you think about a song as legendary, as classic as John Lennon's Imagine? It only went to number three. But that's, like I said,
I think
is
that's
an aside.
Not the point.
That's not the point at all.
Right, right.
Why in 1971 and 72 and 73 and 75 and 79, all the way up to 1980, if she helped write that song, why did John Lennon, her husband, not say, hey, let's share some songwriting credits on this baby? Why didn't that happen? Why does it take 40 years later for them to say, oh, you know what? Yoko inspired that song. She definitely played a part in writing that song. Let's give her the credit. It's kind of weird.
But she didn't write it. That's also kind of weird.
Here's what happened is the National Music Publishers Association in New York last Wednesday did a presentation where they showed a video from back in 1980, shortly before Mr. Lennon was shot, that said that Yoko deserved a songwriting credit because of her influence and her inspiration. So it came Lennon's mouth.
That's not songwriting.
Here's a little bit of the song Imagine if you're unfamiliar with the number.
Imagine all the people living.
By the way, usually when somebody gets added as a co-writer, they've lobbied for it because there's money to be made. In this case, she doesn't get a penny more as a co-songwriter because she's already the beneficiary of her late husband's estate.
Hmm.
Right? So what's
the bet? She's not doing it for money. Maybe she's doing it so people think she's a good songwriter.
I don't know, but we can ask her because Yoko Ono joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock, and it's been a long time. Yoko, how are you?
I'm well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you can help us understand why all these years later this change was made in the songwriting credit to Imagine.
Because it is a meaningful for me to have this credit on the song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because John and I wrote it together, and we had so much shared spirituality when we wrote the song together.
Mm-hmm. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but John Lennon was a freaking Beatle who wrote hundreds of legendary classic songs.
Yes.
And it seems unlikely that you, out of the blue, would help write this one when you're not known for writing any other good songs.
I did write the song with him. You know, it wasn't even a number one song. It only went to number three.
We heard that. Yeah. Yes.
That's surprising, isn't it?
It really is. Was that not the point, Yoko?
I did write the song, and it is very important to me because many of the lyrics I wrote, John did not use. We used some of his and some of mine.
Oh, I see. Well, which ones did you use specifically?
This was originally my version.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
All right. Yoko.
That would not have improved the song. I think your husband made the right decision there.
We split the difference.
So he didn't use any of that.
No.
All right. What part of what you wrote did he use?
The J in Imagine.
That was you.
But I wrote many of the Beatles' biggest hits with him.
What?
No.
No.
More than Imagine? What?
Maybe you remember this hit.
Yesterday,
okay. Well, Yoko,
I think they
far away.
Okay.
Oh, you wrote far away?
Yes.
Oh, that's sweet.
I think they cleaned that one up pretty well. Then it sounds like.
And then also after the Beatles broke up,
right?
I got together with Paul and we wrote a song together.
Oh, no kidding!
I didn't know that. Okay.
Maybe I'm a man.
Ouch.
This is painful, Yoko.
It really hurts.
Oh, good Lord.
And then this one. Hey, John! Far away.
You do have a style.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, I don't mind telling you, I've never heard a bigger crock of bull crap in my life.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7. That's a way to kick off your Friday. Another way to kick off your Friday is with Keeping It 100.
I gotta keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100. I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. I keep it 100.
100.
Keep it 100. That's right. On Fridays, we like to take your text at 1-800-520-1067. And the 100th texter who suggests a song they would like to hear to kick off their weekend, that's the one we play. We had some great ones that were very close. In the upper 90s, we had like Bulls on Parade by Rage. Aaron suggested that. Rudy suggested Supersonic by Oasis. But it was this gentleman who was the 100th texter. Can we get him on the phone? Let's get this guy on the phone and see what song he would like to play to kick off his weekend. We do it every Friday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We keep it 100. We're going to keep it 100 with this gentleman if he answers his phone.
Fingers crossed.
Are we ringing?
Yeah.
Is it ringing?
It's going through.
There we go. Let's see if he picks up.
Hello?
Jim?
Yes, sir.
It's Ralph from the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's happening, man?
How you doing, sir?
Awesome.
You are a 100th texter. You were the one who got to choose what song you would like to have to kick off the weekend with Keep It 100. What song can we play for you today?
How about Pictures of You by The Cure?
Oh, a little Cure.
Hi!
Hi! Who's saying hi in the background?
That's my son. We listen to you every morning.
What's your son's name?
His name's Jimmy.
You're Jim, too, right?
Yes, sir.
And he's Jimmy? Very creative. I like it. Hi, Jimmy. Hi.
Hi,
Jimmy. Jimmy Jr. All right, we're going to play Pictures of You by The Cure for you to kick off your weekend, Jim. Thanks for listening, man.
Thank you.
It's my favorite part of the show when they have the crazies on.
I know, I feel so guilty for laughing, but it is so funny.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Hey! As they say, it's time for the showbiz beat. Last one of the week on a Friday here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37, I want to say, in the morning. Thanks so much for tuning in, boys and girls. We truly appreciate it. Tonight at 10 p.m., Kevin Smith and I, my buddy, we're going to be taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose. We're going to be doing our Hollywood Babylon show. Love to have you come out and join us. If you're so inclined, you can go to improv.com to get your tickets. And meanwhile, let's take one last look at all the show business news before we kick the weekend into hyperdrive. This will not stand. There is a Guinness World Record set for the largest gathering of people dressed as cats this week. This is not a record. This is not a thing that should happen. but 440 cat fans converged on the town of Kuching in Malaysia in full-body cat costumes with ears and whiskers and a tail. They all gathered together to break the record like there was one, to breaking a record, like there was a previous record for largest gathering of people dressed as cats. Anyway, 440 is the record if you want to break it this weekend. If you want to get 500 of your friends together and dressed up as cats.
No way. No way.
Right? Andrew Garfield ticked off a bunch of people this week. He's in a production of Angels in America, and he plays a gay man in that production. And he told the interviewer that he's done so much research, he's a gay man right now, just without the physical act. And he said he prepared for his latest role by watching RuPaul's Drag Race with a group of friends every Sunday night. Oh, don't. Just don't. Just shh. Don't. As you can imagine, people who are actually gay did not appreciate his comments, saying that he had a very limited view of what being gay actually is, and maybe just watching RuPaul's Drag Race once a week doesn't qualify. Congratulations to our pal Patton Oswalt. He and his now fiance Meredith Salinger announced yesterday they were getting married. I was happy to see this lovely couple, very much in love. Meredith, you may remember her from The Journey of Natty Gann, a classic Disney film. Opposite John Cusack in that film. And Patton's a friend, and we love him here on the show, and we're so happy that those guys are getting married. So, making us look bad, being all in love and stuff. And speaking of love, Joan Lee, who was married to the Marvel Comics legend Stan Lee for 69 years, has passed away. She was 93 years old. She had a stroke earlier this week and then passed away. So 93, it's a pretty good run. 69 years together. It's said that we have Joan Lee to thank for the Fantastic Four. Stan Lee was ready to quit the comic book business, and his wife reportedly said to him, "Before you go, you should write one comic book the way you would like to do it. Instead of listening to everybody else, you should write one the way you would want to do it." And apparently that's where the Fantastic Four came from. So we have her to thank for that. Ang Lee is working on a new sci-fi film called Gemini Man. Interesting concept that, by the way, has been bouncing around for about 20 years. First version was supposed to be shot in 1997 of this script. And it's been going between directors and film companies ever since, and now it looks like it's going to happen. The most recent script version was done by co-creator and showrunner of Game of Thrones named David Benioff. And here's the premise. I think it's pretty cool. There's an NSA agent who has announced to his superiors that he's going to retire. This does not sit well with them. He knows too much. And so he ends up being targeted by an assassin who happens to be a younger clone of himself. Pretty interesting concept. Kind of like what we saw in Looper. With Bruce Willis, and who's the dude who was in that?
I didn't see that movie.
You didn't see Looper?
No.
It's he was in Dark Knight.
Who do you play in Dark Knight?
Joseph
Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah, I got him before you did. But this one will star Will Smith, reportedly playing the older agent and the young clone as well. But now they got all that CGI stuff that can make somebody look young in the movie, so I'm guessing that's how they pull it off. I don't know. Could be cool. Hey, don't forget, when you drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, thanks to our friends at Honda. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal helpful Honda dealers, and we appreciate them doing that for us. Let's take a look at the today's celebrity birthdays. Ringo Starr is 77 years old. Shelley Duvall is 68. Jim Gaffigan turns 51 years old. Georgia Fox is 49. Come on back next week for more Kevin and Bean. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. I'm Ralph Garman. Love you. Bye.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Hey, Fox, what do you have? Weird thumbs.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Where's the outrage there?
Thanks again for the party. I need to not be here anymore.
You know what? This conversation is over. I'm really not interested.
I don't care what you want. I don't care what they want. It's over. Let's go.
Let's go.
Come on, let's go. No time for fooling around. Let's hustle. Let's go. Let's hustle.
He's down on the phone.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
So stick around. We'll both be back, right back.
I love you, Poppy.
That must have been a moment of party.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
K-R-O-Q.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.